ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं, ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया। भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 17। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द वर्णाश्रम सिस्टम। टेक्स्ट नंबर 42। ब्राह्मणस्य हि देहोऽयम् क्षुद्रकामाय नेष्यते, कृच्छ्राय तपसे चेह, प्रेत्यानन्तसुखाय च। ब्राह्मणस्य हि देहोऽयम् क्षुद्रकामाय नेष्यते, कृच्छ्राय तपसे चेह, प्रेत्यानन्तसुखाय च। ब्राह्मणस्य हि देहोऽयम् क्षुद्रकामाय नेष्यते, कृच्छ्राय तपसे चेह, प्रेत्यानन्तसुखाय च। ब्राह्मणस्य हि देहोऽयम् कृच्छ्राय तपसे चेह, प्रेत्यानन्तसुखाय च। ब्राह्मणस्य हि देहोऽयम् क्षुद्रकामाय नेष्यते, कृच्छ्राय तपसे चेह, प्रेत्यानन्तसुखाय च। ब्राह्मणस्य ऑफ अ ब्राह्मण ही सर्टनली देह बॉडी आई एम दिस क्षुद्र इनसिग्निफिकेंट कामाय फॉर सेंस ग्रैटिफिकेशन ना नॉट इष्यते इस मेंट कृच्छ्राय फॉर डिफिकल्ट तपसे ऑस्टेरिटीज च ऑल्सो इह इन दिस वर्ल्ड प्रेत्य आफ्टर डेथ अनंत अनलिमिटेड सुखाय हैप्पीनेस च ऑल्सो। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय डिसाइपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: द बॉडी ऑफ अ ब्राह्मण इज नॉट इंटेंडेड to enjoy insignificant material sense gratification. Rather, by accepting difficult austerities in life, a brahmana will enjoy unlimited happiness after death. Purport: one may ask why a brahmana should voluntarily accept inconvenience in keeping his body and soul together. In this verse, the Lord explains that advanced human life is meant for serious austerity and not for insignificant sense gratification. By spiritual advancement, one is fixed in transcendental bliss on the spiritual platform and gives up useless absorption in the temporary material body. One should remain detached from the material body, accepting only the bare necessities of life. The Brahmanas, by accepting a troublesome form of livelihood, never forget that the material body is destined to grow old, become diseased, and die in misery. Thus remaining alert and transcendental, an advanced Brahmana at the end of his life goes back home, back to Godhead, where he enjoys unlimited spiritual bliss. Without such higher awareness, how can one be considered a qualified Brahmana? Those devotees engaged 24 hours a day in spreading the mission of Lord Krishna are beyond the platform of renunciation or sense gratification, because they engage everything in Lord Krishna's service. A pure devotee of the Lord eats only to get strength for serving the Lord and does not accept either sumptuous or meager food simply for the body's sake. However, everything may be accepted for the Lord, even sumptuous meals. A Brahmana who is not working day and night to spread the glories of the Lord should feel embarrassed to eat sumptuously for his personal sense gratification. But a renounced Vaishnava preacher may accept invitations from all classes of pious people, and just to bless their homes, he will eat the opulent foods they offer to him. Similarly, he sometimes eats sumptuously to get strength for defeating atheists and impersonalists. As stated in Vedic literature, one cannot be a highly qualified Brahmana unless one becomes a devotee of the Lord. And among the devotees, those who are preaching Krishna consciousness are the best, as confirmed by the Lord himself in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees here. So we are continuing with the section of Uddhava Gita, where Krishna is describing the qualities of a Brahmana, who is a topmost order of the Varnashram system. So Krishna gives the qualities of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, how they should behave, their external, internal qualities, their virtues. So we are reading the section of a Brahmana. where the purport is explaining how one should, a brahmana should accept voluntary austerities and not indulge in excessive sense gratification, because austerity is the wealth of a brahmana. Even Rishabdev, in his instruction to his sons, he says, tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam nayam deho deha bhajam nirloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbujamye. There was this one article in BTG where one after this Olympic Games, there was one wrestler, weightlifter, who was lifting heavy weights, struggling to lift it. And the caption was, kashtan kaman arhate vidbujamye. Why struggle unnecessarily for lifting a weight? And tapo divyam putraka shuddhe diyasmat brahma saukhyam tvanantam. So human life is meant for not indulging in sense gratification. Sense gratification can mean either gross or subtle. Gross sense gratification means to pamper the body with various eatables and other decorations. Or subtle sense gratification for gaining name and fame, adoration, distinction. So if a human life is, precious human time is spent in acquiring these temporary assets, then we don't achieve permanent results, permanent gains. Shuddhed yasmat brahma saukhyam. We won't achieve brahma saukhyam tvanantam. Unlimited spiritual bliss. So same point is highlighted here. And it is said, by accepting difficult austerities in his life, a brahmana will enjoy unlimited happiness after death. And to some extent, even in this life, before death also. But the real thing awaits after death. And that is the main problem why modern people have difficulty in accepting austerities. Because who has seen afterlife? Who has seen life after death? In spite of all scientific evidence about past life memories and other scientific documentation, people have a hard time believing in this fact that life could exist, continue to exist after life. And until we don't accept afterlife, why struggle unnecessarily in this life to gain something imaginary which doesn't exist at all? So because afterlife, the concept of afterlife forces them to undergo austerity in this life, people don't want to accept afterlife in spite of all evidence, because that allows them to continue their reckless life of sense gratification. So in one year, 2010, this word austerity became a sensation. According to one popular research conducted, this was the most searched word on the internet. Because austerity, due to some tax imposition by the government, economic sanctions, people are forced to undergo and cut down their spending. So this term came up, austerity, leading an austere life. So there, austerity indicated leading a frugal life, forced austerity, forcefully leading a cut down austere life due to government pressure. Increased inflation and cutting down incentives and other benefits to the employer. So that austerity word had a negative connotation, because no one liked to do austerity and people were eager to come out of that state of life. So then, but in our scriptures, in the Vedic scriptures, we find the word austerity or tapasya. Tapasya is a Sanskrit word for austerity. which indicates a positive thing. tapo bal, the strength of austerity, the wealth of austerity. That's the attached meaning to this word. And everyone is expected to undergo some level of austerity, because austerity promises you some higher benefits, higher eternal benefits. So tapasya indicates accepting voluntary inconveniences, unlike the forced austerity we are talking about here in the modern capitalist world. Voluntarily accepting undergoing certain inconveniences in terms of eating, sleeping and other bodily necessities. And in this way, you get to enjoy something higher. So even when someone is forced to undergo austerities, there are some benefits. One benefit is, when you are forced to cut down expenses, then you start prioritizing what is of real value. If I have this much money, this much amount to spend, and then I have to decide that I can't spend my money in useless sense gratification, I can't spend money in useless entertainment. So we start prioritizing, and people start introspecting and understanding what is of real value in life. When there is a lot of money to spend, then we spend money on useless things. So when there is forced austerity also, people start introspecting and discriminating what is of real value and what is of not value. So that is one advantage of, even in a situation, condition, economic condition where people are forced to undergo austerity. Another form of austerity could be where you are confined to a limited space. Like for example, in a war situation or in a slavery condition, people are captured and put inside prisons. In that condition, definitely you don't have options for sense gratification. But one advantage in such situation is people become more philosophical and start inquiring about, at least pondering about, deeper values of life. They start thinking about death and why life exists, why I am suffering. So that kind of introspection is possible in this kind of situation. So Brahmanas, as explained in this verse, accept voluntary austerities because austerity encourages them and gives them a facility to inquire deeper about life, philosophical questions about life. A life of sense gratification doesn't prepare our mind to think deeper about life. But when conveniences are accepted voluntarily, then naturally that environment gives you thoughts, because you become conscious of how the body is so troublesome, how it is going to fall sick, eventually it is going to die. So the body is a source of misery. Asannapik kleshada asadeha. Body is always giving us miseries and troubles. So voluntarily accepting austerities allows us to understand the temporary nature of this body, how it is going to give us trouble, and eventually we cannot depend and rely on the body for permanent happiness. That thought is always dominant in one's mind when there is voluntary austerities and not forced austerity. Therefore, a Brahmana happily accepts austerity, because then he is always conscious of the ultimate goal of life. So, materially troublesome activities, but that are helpful for spiritual advancement. So, Brahmanas eagerly embrace them, happily embrace them. In existential inquisitiveness is high. Awareness about our existence in this world. So therefore, in the Gita, you find Krishna describing about various types of austerities. The 17th chapter, you find Krishna talking about austerity of the body, mind and words. Devat Dvijaguru Pragya Pujanam Shauchamarjavam Brahmacharya Mahimsacha Shariram Tapauchate. So, offering obeisances to elders, demigods, Supreme Lord. Cleanliness, maintaining external and internal cleanliness is an austerity of the body. Brahmacharya Mahimsacha, practicing celibacy, sexual restraint. Ahimsa, non-violence. So all these things are austerities for the body. No one likes to do on their own. The general tendency is be reckless and violent to anyone. Indulgence and gratification. Not offering obeisance. Even when we enter the temple, many times we sometimes feel we have shortcut forms of offering obeisances. We try to somehow, if you've already done once and we feel, why do it again? Right? So, but then the regulation is you come down, offer your obeisances to all the devotees present in the hall, offer obeisances to the spiritual master, Prabhupada, the deities. And when you go back, do it in the reverse fashion. It's a regulation. He said that Goswamis used to offer obeisances few hundred times a day, 1,000 times a day. As a regulation, offering obeisances to Govardhan, offering obeisances to devotees. Fixed number of times every day. Fixed number of chanting certain names of Krishna every day. Sankhya Purvakana Magana Nativi. So these are all regulations. And that is the formula for getting out of the illness, sickness. Just like we take medicines when we go to a doctor. The doctor prescribes medicine, these medicines at this time of the day, before meal, after meal, for so many days, for extended periods of time, depending on the sickness. And if you don't follow that prescription, then we don't come out of the sickness. Similarly, here in this case, our sickness is of the ego. False ego is dominating us. We are the enjoyer, we are the controller. That is an illness of the mind, sickness of the mind. And to cure that sickness, we need to follow a regulated discipline, which includes physical austerities also. Then austerity of the speech. Krishna says, anudvega karam vakyam. Non-agitating words. Words that do not provoke others unnecessarily. Satyam priyahitam chayat. Speaking the truth. Speaking words that are truthful, beneficial and pleasing to hear. Palatable truth. Swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva. Reciting regularly Vedic literatures. Because that is also not a very pleasurable activity for many people. Okay. Having every day, morning and evening, chanting the mantras, chanting our rounds. Because the tendency is to fall asleep, go to sleep, remain asleep and do something else. But fixed time, daily getting up, fixed number of rounds in front of the devotees, in the assembly of devotees. Certain number, fixed number. On a daily, every day. So that is austerity of speech. And Krishna says about austerity of mind. Manaprasada saumyatvam. Always remaining in a state of contentment. Because the nature of the mind is always hankering for more, wanting more and more and more. Not remaining satisfied is the nature of the mind. When a new product comes in the market, the mind will convince us, you are not happy right now. You should not remain happy. You should hanker for this object, this item, this gadget, this position. So, Manaprasada Saumyatvam, Krishna says, to convince the mind to remain happy in whatever situation it is, that is austerity of the mind. Maunam, silence, Atma Vinigraha, not indulging in sense gratification. Bhava Samshuddhi Rityeta Tapo Mana Samuchyate. Always Bhava Samshuddhi, purifying the existence, our life in this world. This, all this constitute Tapo manasam, austerity of the mind. So that is the most difficult part. Physical austerities, so we can somehow manage. Verbal, vocal can be still manageable. But to convince the mind to remain satisfied is the biggest challenge. Especially in today's age where there is constant bombardment through media, telling us, offering us newer and newer ways of sense gratification. And you tell, this is not good, this is not good. We have to convince the mind that dukkha yonayavati, this is going to give us future misery. So these are the austerities of, three austerities that Krishna describes, and then he describes how each austerity can be in three modes. So when austerity is done for purifying our existence, that is in the mode of goodness. When austerity is done for gaining name and fame, or for some powers to exploit others, then that is in the mode of passion. And austerity done for the cause of destruction of others, with a violent mood, that is in the mode of ignorance. So a brahmana is expected, a devotee is expected to perform austerity in the mode of goodness and rise slowly, gradually above the bodily platform from where he can get access to transcendence. So in our scriptures we find several good and bad examples of people performing austerities and how they achieved different destinations, different results. In the 10th canto we find the story of Devaki and Vasudev performing austerities. So ideally, austerity should be performed for a spiritual goal. And Devaki and Vasudev, it is said, they performed intense austerities. Varsha vata tapa hima gharma kala gunananu sahamanau shwasarodha vinirdhuta manomalau shirna parna nilaha rav upashantena chetasa matta kaman abhip santau madaradhana mihatuhu. So varsha, they tolerated rain, vata, wind, tapa, heat, hima, intense cold, suffering all sorts of inconvenience according to different seasons. And they did pranayam, controlling their breath. And through yoga, and by eating only air and dry leaves fallen from the trees, that was their diet. Austerity of physical austerities. And he said, this is Krishna telling them, after he appeared before them, you cleansed your minds of all dirty things. In this way, desiring a benediction from me, you worshipped me with peaceful mind. Manaprasada saumyatvam. So that's how Devaki and Vasudev performed austerities and finally got Krishna as their son. And it is said even Nanda and Yashoda, who were previously Dhara and Drona, they also performed austerities. What was their austerity? They performed, they observed a Dwadashi vow for one full year. Of course, we understand Nanda and Yashoda are eternal parents of Krishna and they don't need to perform any austerities. But just to show that tapasya is needed to get Krishna as their son, they performed austerity for one whole year. And then finally Krishna appeared in a dream to them and said, oh my dear devotees, do not worry. Your desire will be soon fulfilled. And very soon Krishna appeared in their minds and Krishna took birth. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita we find an example of other kinds of austerities. Of course we have examples of Hiranyakashipu and other demons also who performed austerity in the mode of passion, austerity in the mode of ignorance. There is a case of Vrikasura doing austerity of in the mode of ignorance, wanting to kill Lord Shiva. So all kinds of austerities we find. Even in today's time we find several people performing witchcraft and other kinds of black magic in order to cause destruction of some acquaintance, some friend or relative whom they feel have destroyed, stolen their property. Especially in Kali Yuga you find these kind of examples of negative tamasya caste austerities. tamasik tapasya. People are ignorant of their higher goals of tapasya, and they indulge in. So the tendency to perform tapasya is there, but they do it for a selfish, violent motive. So, since Gaur Purnima is coming, I thought we will discuss some pastime of Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the story of this Antya Leela, chapter 10. This is a section where Lord Chaitanya is forced to perform austerity. For what reason? Because one sannyasi named Ramachandra Puri is roaming around in Jagannath Puri. So who was Ramachandra Puri? He happened to be a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, a godbrother of Ishwara Puri. And so Ramachandra Puri comes to Jagannath Puri. And he is welcomed by his godbrothers. Paramananda Puri is also a godbrother. He embraces him, welcomes him. And it is said, a sannyasi should not offer obeisances or blessings to anyone. Sannyasi nirashir nir namaskriyaha. So that is also one austerity for a sannyasi. So Ramachandra Puri comes and comes into the assembly of devotees, and he is invited for lunch by Jagadananda. So Ramachandra Puri accepts that invitation, goes to his house for lunch. And after he finished his meal, he requested Jagadananda, "Now you please take the meal." So then he serves him prasad. Jagadananda accepts prasad. And after he finishes eating, what does he say? "I have heard that the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat more than necessary. Now I have directly seen all this." So Jagadananda, Ramachandra Puri served Jagadananda intentionally, made him overeat, and then he's criticizing. So then he starts advising him about the need for controlling the senses and how sannyasi should not be indulging in overeating, because if a sannyasi overeats, then he's unable to maintain his regulative principles and he will fall down. So in this way, Kaviraj Goswami explains how Ramachandra Puri dared to criticize all devotees. This was his biggest fault. Finding faults with devotees, including Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he explains how he got this tendency. Because when Madhavendra Puri was about to leave his body, and Ramachandra Puri happened to be there, and Madhavendra Puri wanted to remember Krishna at the time of death, and he was crying in the mood of separation, and Ramachandra Puri happened to be there, and he advised him foolishly that, "Why are you meditating on, why are you calling out to Krishna? Instead meditate on Brahman, the impersonal oneness. Then you will attain equanimity and equilibrium." So Madhavendra Puri got angry with him, because trying to remember Krishna, and he is advising him to remember something else. So he cursed him. He cursed him that, "You get out of here." So it is said that curse of Madhavendra Puri destroyed Ramachandra Puri. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, due to this offense, gradually material desire awakened within him. So the word used is vasana. Vasana means material desires. So he quotes several verses. "Even though one is liberated in this life, if one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down in the midst of material desires, of which dry speculation about spiritual realization is one." So Ramachandra Puri was one of those persons who would speculate unnecessarily, which all happened because of his offense. So this is one important point we need to take care of. Offenses is directly proportional, our material desires are directly proportional to the offenses we commit. So we have to be extremely careful of offenses. And offenses include blasphemy of devotees, which is also the first offense in chanting the holy name. to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy names of the Lord. So similar quotations Prabhupada quotes to indicate how vasana take birth in a person who is offensive in nature. So in this way, Ramchandra Puri roams around all over Jagannath Puri, going to various devotees and trying to find faults. And in contrast, we find the example of Ishwar Puri, who was blessed by Madhavendra Puri because he helped Madhavendra Puri remember Krishna at the time of his departure. So these two contrasting examples Kaviraj Goswami brings about to show how our behavior with devotees, our dealings with devotees will decide how we progress in spiritual life. In this way, Ramchandra Puri continues his life, stay in Jagannath Puri. Eventually he wants to find faults in Lord Chaitanya also. But he is not able to find fault. He says, on his character and behavior, Ramchandra Puri is unable to find any fault. But he wants to find fault. He is eager to find faults. So what he does? One day, Ramchandra Puri came in the morning in the home of Lord Chaitanya. And what did he see? Along the edges of the room, he sees several ants. Ants roaming around. Pipilika. So he says, Ratra vatra aikshava masit. Last night there was sugar candy here. Therefore ants are wandering about. Alas, this renounced sannyasi is attached to such sense gratification. And after passing this remark, he left the place. So till now, Lord Chaitanya hadn't encountered directly Ramchandra Puri. He had heard that Ramchandra Puri is propagating blasphemy everywhere, but he hadn't directly heard blasphemy from his own mouth. And after hearing these remarks, Lord Chaitanya decides to cut down in his eating. He decides to perform severe austerities. So he says, from today on, it will be a rule that I shall accept only 1/4 of a pot of Lord Jagannath's prasad and 5 gandas worth of vegetables. So this is some currency at that time. So for feeding Lord Chaitanya every day, there was a fixed quantity of food which devotees would purchase from Jagannath temple, or if it is a qualified brahmana, he would personally cook at home and bring some prasad from Jagannath Puri. So certain brahmanas were eligible to cook for Lord Chaitanya, and in those homes Lord Chaitanya wouldn't mind eating. But when there were lower order brahmanas, Lord Chaitanya would tell the host to get prasad from Jagannath temple, and that mahaprasad the brahmana would feed. So that cost was a certain amount. 1/4 of a pot of Lord Jagannath prasad and 5 gandas worth of vegetables. That was the price. And that prasad would be enough to feed Lord Chaitanya himself and 1 or 2 guests. His servant Govinda and maybe 1 guest. So 3 or 4 people. But after hearing this remark of Ramchandra Puri, Lord Chaitanya decided to cut down. He would eat only half the food they would usually eat, and he would distribute the rest. So then Ramchandra Puri visits one day Lord Chaitanya's place after he has cut down a few days, and then he starts advising the other thing. He says, it is not the business of a sannyasi to gratify his senses, but I have heard that you have cut down your eating. A sannyasi eats as much necessary to maintain his body, but he does not enjoy satisfying his senses materially. Thus a sannyasi becomes perfect in his spiritual advancement in knowledge. So now he sees that Lord Chaitanya has cut down too much. So now he says, now don't be so austere. You should eat moderately. And he quotes the Gita. Yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapna avabodasya. And Lord Chaitanya humbly accepts the proposal. He says, I am like your child, I am innocent, I am ignorant, so I appreciate your advice. And he left, Ramchandra Puri left. But when devotees, since Jagannath Puri saw that Mahaprabhu has cut down his eating, his regular quota, they feel very pained at heart. And they approach him and request him, why do you have to listen to this blasphemer? He is finding fault with everyone. And we shouldn't be bothered about his criticism. And let us continue. Please continue eating your regular quota. Devotees will be happy. We want to feed you as usual. But because of your restriction, devotees are feeling pained. But Lord Chaitanya says, no. He is a sannyasi and he is advising me about sannyas dharma. What's wrong in it? So I'll continue my regulation. So Kaviraj Goswami says, sannyasi should have two regulations. Should not neither praise nor criticize. That's a dharma for a sannyasi. But Ramchandra Puri followed the first one. He wouldn't praise anyone. And he gave priority to the other one. He would severely criticize everyone. And Kaviraj Goswami says, if there are two rules, Purva and Para, then Para rule should be given a prominence, should be given importance. So earlier rule is, should not praise anyone. And the later rule is, should not criticize anyone. But Ramchandra Puri took the other one. He took the first one. He gave emphasis to the Purva, not praising anyone, and ignored the second one. In this way, Lord Chaitanya continued his restrictions in eating and devotees are feeling pain. Finally, one day, Ramchandra Puri left the place. And as soon as he left, devotees felt like a big burden coming out of their head, dropped out of their head. And when everyone left, Ramchandra Puri left, Lord Chaitanya also resumed his eating and usual quota of eating. So here we find how Mahaprabhu is insisting on a sannyasi's regulative life, Brahmana's regulative life. Overindulgence in eating, in another place he says, overindulgence in eating doesn't allow us to remember Krishna properly. What is that verse? So therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami advises how too much eating will not help us remember Krishna. Therefore, regulation is needed, austerity is needed. And that is the real wealth of a Brahmana, as Rishabhdev advises. Brahma Saukhyam Tvanantam. We want to enjoy unlimited happiness. And therefore, we need to accept some little voluntary inconveniences in this life. Compared to the happiness that is awaiting us, the pain of austerity is insignificant. So, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaja writes in his book, how he underwent severe austerities in the early days. He was preaching in the communist countries and behind the Iron Curtain, and he had to sneak in through several universities and other government offices to distribute books. And because of his black, dark color, he was easily noticeable in a place where everyone is white. So he would chant, he says, he would chant 42 rounds every day of Hare Krishna mantra. And he couldn't chant anyone because KGB was after him. So what he would do, he would get into toilets. And he would remain inside the toilet for 3-4 hours to finish his chanting. And he would make the toilets appear as if they are broken down. Some repair is going on. That's some indication he would give to the people standing outside. And he would spend all this time inside the toilets and bathrooms and chant his rounds. And that's how he said, that austerity helped me realize, finally, when I later came out in the community of devotees, in the association of devotees, I understood that is such a wealth, that is such a luxury to chant in the association of devotees. So that is the advantage of performing austerity, he writes. We appreciate when luxuries come, when facilities come, when resources are available, we start appreciating them much more when we voluntarily undergo tapasya. And in this way, tapasya makes us conscious of the ultimate goal of life, and we never lose focus and get distracted from the main purpose of life. So I'll stop here. If anyone has any comment or thoughts. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.